Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love Him. I thank God for all that He is doing. His return is very soon and even imminent. But He's coming back for His people who love Him. He told me recently, when He return and take His people off earth, there will be not one mistake. Those that he take with him, it is according to the counsel of God. Those that he leave here, it's also according to the counsel of God. And everything he give me to do, I do it by his order. Because the Lord our God knows what he's doing. He knows us all personally. He don't just know of us, he know us personally. The problem is sometimes people don't know him personally, but you can. As we draw near to the Lord, he'll draw near to us. Interacting with him helps us to know and understand his ways, his will, his purpose. When we have his love in our heart, we have activated purpose. We have a purpose when we walk in his kind of love. And that's what I want to talk about the most. What the Lord is putting on my heart today is your abilities always will forever increase in His love. There's more revelation in the love of God than anything else. The Word of God is the knowledge of love. So the way you understand the revelation of God's Word, you have to receive it in your heart. You have to desire it. You have to want it. You have to and when you love like God does, the Word of God starts opening up as you study it and as you live it. Not just as you study it, but also as you live it. Even if you see the principles of His love in life, you will receive revelation knowledge from the wisdom of God's Word in action. When you experience God's Word, you receive revelation. Some things that puzzle you now, as you see it in action, as you obey it and you operate in the Word of God, you begin to appreciate what God said, and you begin to experience why God said what He said. And sometimes you can put it in words after you receive revelation, and sometimes you really can't describe what you understand. That may sound puzzling, but those who walk in fellowship with the Lord, you know what I'm talking about. When I ask the Lord my questions, and He give me wisdom, for instance, I can talk about it. I can tell how I learned it. I can tell how it blessed me. But the Lord taught me several things back from the 80s, from the late 80s, early 90s. Here it is, 2021, and I'm able to describe it in words. Before, I could only show people what God showed me and how I could describe how I learned what I understood. But putting it in perfect words, I could not do it yet. But I was able to walk in it. Now, because of that, I want to say this. Sometimes you don't have a comparison. What I mean by a comparison, I mean a way to compare what the blessing to what you were. You know, we live our life whatever is normal for us. And let's say we have a problem. We don't know how to get out. We don't know how to change the problem. We don't know how to master it. We cry out to the Lord and ask Him to help us. He does. Then whenever He do what He's going to do to help us to solve our problem, we begin to walk in it. And it starts out in seed form. Everything of God starts out in seed form. He show you what to change. You begin to change, or you begin to act on what he said, and it begins to work. At the first stage, you have a measure of relief. And then you have hope. And then you begin, you see, as you receive what God is showing you and walk in it, you begin to start winning in life. It's not just hope anymore. You're living by active faith, and it gets better and better and better and increase. And after a while, you can master the problem. If the enemy try the same thing again, you will win because you've grown. Now, you've grown from glory to glory, and you get to a point where that doesn't bother you anymore. But you shouldn't take it lightly. Those are fireworks. But you shouldn't take it lightly. Nevertheless, this is the thing. With the skill that you have attained, now you have a comparison. You can compare what God has done, also along with what, with your cooperation, what you've done. See, there's a God side, a Godward side, and a manward side. All right, God did his part, then you acted on what he said. You did your part, now you can master the problem. And now, for once, you can compare what happened, how you mastered it, with what got you in trouble in the first place. And this is why, if you train up a child in the way they should go, this is one of the reasons when they're old, they won't depart from it. Because now they have a comparison. They're comparing what you taught from the beginning of their life. And that, you know, as a child, you think as a child. As a teenager, you think as a teenager. But when you go and play with the world and you get your butt kicked, and, you know, people say, well, you shouldn't put it that way. I want you to remember. Sometimes you can word things in a way people can't forget. When you get your butt kicked by the world, and then you go back to what your parents taught you, if you had good Christian parents or good examples, you go back to what was right. Now you see what your parents were getting at. Now you understand they weren't just trying to deprive you. They were trying to help you. All along they were trying to help you. The pastor at church was trying to help you. Your Sunday school teacher was trying to help you. All your teachers that made you do your lesson that the children didn't like because they made them do that lesson. Now you respect them for once. Because you see what they were talking about. They were trying to help you. They weren't trying to deprive you and make you work. And all the sorry teachers that read the newspaper in class and let you have your way, you see them for what they are or what they were. And if you're a godly person, you forgive them and you go on. But you know that they didn't do right. They were sorry. But you don't hold it against them. You go on anyway. If anybody that did you wrong, you understand it for once, that they were not being the best friend to you. But everybody that coerced you to do what was right, they were your real friends. And for once, you see it. Now, you done got your butt kicked by the world, but you have a comparison. If I had only done what they said do, I'd be in a better place. And there are some people, they get it. They know that their parents and their teachers and friends were trying to tell them the right thing. And they respected it earlier without going in the world and getting their butt kicked. But when you go in the world and get your butt kicked and you find out, nobody can come and tell you that the world works. You know the world is a nasty place. But when people have never been beat up by the world, and they never were in it, they are blessed. But you can see people hurting in the world, and it's because somewhere along the line of their life, they never got on. Nobody ever taught them in the first place, or they got off. They trusted the wrong thing somewhere. Now, and sometimes people don't come back. I'm not talking about the people who had a comparison. The word said when they're old, they'll come back. Now, Satan is low down. He'll try to take you out while he owns his territory if he can. So hopefully everybody will go back to what they know is right and stop living a life of rebellion and selfishness. But to those who love God and they want to do His word, they want to live a life that honors God, I'm talking to you now. Everything else was an example for whoever it fits. But those who love God, you're on the right track, and your abilities will increase. You have great abilities in God. You can do things you didn't know was possible. Because whenever you believe God in your situation, you have to understand that now God is involved. And while God is involved, now your life is going to be impacted in a much greater way as you grow from glory to glory. You're gaining skills. You're going to learn about abilities that you truly have, that you always had in Him. Now, without Him, you don't have these abilities. In Him, you do have these abilities. Without God, your abilities are limited. You have them. But with God, you have a multiplied amount of abilities that you know nothing about. As I began to walk in His love, all I wanted in the first place was not, I just didn't want to fail. I didn't want to lose it and dishonor Jesus. I didn't want to, He gave me life I wanted to live. He gave me His life. He laid His life down for mine. And I wanted my life to serve Him properly. I knew that He died for me and gave me peace. I wanted to be able to love people, whether they did me good or whether they did me evil. When the Lord said to me that day, "Everlasting love, to love a man, whether he does you good or whether he does you evil," I was very interested in being able to do that. And that's one, it's like, I didn't just receive that word. It's like, in the spirit, I reached out and grabbed that word and embraced it and made it mine. And I immediately had peace, strength, and vision. But I didn't reach out and grab it. You know, nobody saw me reach out and grab anything. But in my spirit, man, that's what I was doing. It's just like if you play football, then basketball. It's 90 degrees outside. It's 12 noon. It's hot. And now everybody take a break. And you want some water. We used to turn the hose pipe on because we were too thirsty to go in the house and get some water. And we would turn the hose pipe on and let it run a bit. And when the water cooled down, come out cool, we took turns drinking water. And that hose pipe water was so sweet. Because we wanted some water so much. Now, that's the same way it is that, or that's the same way it was the day the Lord said, "Everlasting love, to love a man, whether he does you good or evil." That word charged me. I felt like I was just like a thirsty man would drink some good, sweet water. That's how I felt. And I wanted to do this. Now, when I asked the Lord to teach me to love His people, all I wanted at that moment, that's all I knew, that's all I expected. I just wanted to be able to master my emotions and so I wouldn't get angry and mess everything up. And see, if you go off on somebody and lose your temperance and you say the wrong things, you'll never be able to win their soul, or they may never trust you again. You know, maybe they will, maybe they won't. But you know, I just didn't want to give Satan an opportunity like that again. I came too close to it, because whatever's in your heart, that's what you're going to do. There are people in jail right now. They wish that they could go back in time and do the whole day different because of one problem they had with one person. They got a gun and they shot somebody, and now they're in jail. They said something they shouldn't have. Now somebody's dead or hurt, and they're in jail. And they can't, and they were good people otherwise. Wives have killed husbands because of one flash moment. Husbands have killed wives that they love because of one hot flash moment. And I saw a train wreck coming. I said, Lord, I'm going to do this again. Teach me how to love your people. I said, I don't know how you did that today, but I want to be able to love your people. And I don't ever want to come close to dishonoring Jesus again as long as I live. And all I wanted was to know that I would do right. That was very important to me. I grew up in church. I've seen people do things. I've seen people do everything that a person could do or talk about what they've done. Now, I'm not saying people were sloppy. I'm saying some people were together people. They loved God. They had good intentions. I can tell you about so many people that did the right thing. And then there was some that was struggling to do the right. They wanted to do right, but they were struggling to do right. Some people, they tried to do right, but they had habits. And they didn't know how to master them. But, if you have a problem, you go to the hospital. If something's wrong with your arm, your leg, your stomach, whatever, you go to the hospital and get some help. People who have problems and they know they need help, they go to church to get help. They are not hypocrites. Some people just don't know how to master their life. Sometimes they may be very intelligent otherwise, but they may have a loose tongue. Words may slip out that shouldn't slip out. They may do things they really don't like, but that don't mean that they're hypocrites. They just, Paul explained this in Romans chapter 7. And he also gave us the solution in chapter 8. He set out to do good, but he found himself tempted to do wrong. He wanted people to know this is what happens because of the war that you're in. Satan is trying to get you to choose to do the wrong thing. Your flesh has its own desires. Your mind has its own desires. And your heart, a born-again heart, wants to do God's will. See, if people wanted to do wrong, that would be no reason for Satan to tempt people. He has to tempt people to get them interested in doing wrong and make the wrong decision and go and embrace the wrong things. He have a lot of trouble. He go through a lot of work to do this. And the world is persuaded wrong and driven to darkness. When people are, musicians, he get them off balance. While when they make a hit song, they have a lot of concerts. And Satan is low down. He'll have the manager overschedule them because of their greed. And now, then they got to go out of town and perform, go to another state and perform, go to another state and perform to get the money while the money's hot. While everybody's excited about the song. And to help give them a boost, they take uppers. And then after the concert, they wired up because they took drugs to be alert. Now they take downers to come back down to go to sleep. Now they're making money, and while that's happening, they're being hooked. And the songs that they usually sing, if it's worldly, is worldly. So the world gets in their heart. They start doing things they normally wouldn't do. And then that's how they end up on drugs. Then the next hit song they write is about drugs. You see how things are. The world is, Satan drives people into a wedge, into a trap. And he bait them along the way. They think in their mind that after this concert business is over, they're going to be all right. But they're infected. They are infected with the world, just like a man can be infected with a disease. Now their habit system is seared. It's just destroyed. They don't know what to do with themselves. They're driven to darkness because they tampered with the wrong thing. Satan is the mastermind behind the whole thing. Now, I've seen this happen so many ways and heard about it so many ways. People make movies about it. Nobody figures it out. Never let anything take you from the waters that go softly. Stick with the love of God. You don't need the world to help you promote anything. And you should never trust the world to help you promote anything. Go, you know, you get, there are so many Christian musicians full of hit songs, but they'll never be known because they won't go in the prayer room and keep God in charge of their life. They won't write him a blank check. They won't follow him. What I mean by writing a blank check to God, that means, Lord, you gave me this song. This song can help your people. How do I promote it? Now God can do business with you. Elder Lewis said one time, get down to business with God and he'll get down to business with you. Instead of going in the prayer room and finding out what God's will is, they want to play music, so they go where people are playing music and they get involved with the wrong people. They trust the wrong people. They won't take their behind in the prayer room and get to know God. They go and ask man for help. Well, man thinks like man, but man can be leveraged easily by Satan. That's why kingdoms don't work. Dictatorships don't work. Because man is no match for sin. Satan knows it. And he will leverage him with whatever he likes. Whatever part of the world he likes the most, the enemy will set up camp in his heart. And now Satan is in control of the whole kingdom. That's why they needed a more perfect union. When America became an independent nation, they found out that even if we get a good king, and some people were king-minded, they were used to the king. That was the culture. And they asked George Washington to be the king. He refused to be a king. And so they made a constitution. Now, I believe they went in prayer and they came up with the Constitution, a way for the nation. See, in America, the people are the king. The president, the House, the Senate, the judicial system, they are our servants. And they are elected by the people. And they designed this thing, you know, even the Electoral College. See, a person can move the crowds in the larger cities, and then they'll vote whoever they love in office. But to see, our fail-safes are in place to keep a dictator from arising. Every decision that the president makes, he has limited power. It has to pass the House and the Senate, and then it has to be approved by the president. And that way things are in check. And then you have the judicial system. And they have fail-safe so that it'll never be a dictatorship again. Some of our presidents, even in my lifetime, people thought highly of them enough to try to want them in office longer than their two terms. And, you know, if there were three terms, it would probably turn into another kingdom. But we have fail-safes in place so that that can't happen. So that everybody continues to have a voice. And it's the reason a dictatorship or a kingdom won't work is because even if you have a good king, I was about to say this a moment ago, even if you have a very good, outstanding king, when he dies, usually his children take over. Well, you got a 50-50 chance of that child being a heathen, an evil man, a party goer. He might even be on drugs. Now he's your president, your king? You kidding me? And the whole thing will collapse, just like all the other terrible dictatorships have done. Because Satan can easily leverage a man that's not rooted and grounded in the things of God. And even if he's a Christian, if he's not wise enough to reject darkness, he'll be leveraged by what he loves. So even a Christian king won't work either, unless he stays subject to the Lord. How many Christians keep God first? How many Christians do you know, being honest, will do anything God say do at any time? It's hard to count who will actually fulfill whatever God wants them to do. People say they will, but when God tells them to do something, then they tell God, well, you need to find somebody else, somebody better than me. They look, you know, but when God select you for something, they don't even want to see that through. How in the world, you know, will a man that'll say no to God defeat Satan? You can't defeat Satan if you think like him in any way. You have to totally disagree with Satan, and you have to be yielded to God to live a powerful life. No matter how you look at it, no matter what you think, people that say no to God somewhere, they stop everything from working. They can't proceed. They get to a certain point and stop. And people that can't say no to Satan, to everything he's trying to do, they can be leveraged very easily. They'll let something in the door. I like that, but I'm not going to bother that. That's why Satan's going to leverage you. You just got to make sure that it's not of the world. If it's of the world, drive it out of your life. You don't need anything from Satan. You don't need distractions. The lust of the flesh. If it's the lust of the flesh, it's got to go. The pride of life, it's definitely got to go. The lust of the eye, greed, that's got to go. Because in God's house, you're going to prosper. But you can't let your prosperity become your God. Sometimes people prosper to the point when God's telling them what to do with it. That must not be God. You know, they're getting off the bus now. No. If you can't write God a blank check, you got a bigger problem than you realize you do. And so I like fail-safe. That's why I say I would do all that's in his heart. Because if I'm in agreement, if I'm willing to be in agreement, if I'm willing and obedient, I'm going to win. But if I adore any darkness, that's going to be a problem. So I just proved many ways a dictatorship don't work and a kingdom don't work unless you can say yes to everything God is saying and say no to everything that Satan is saying. If you can do that, you're going to find out yourself in a very short time that you have abilities that you didn't know you had. You'll be able to access the word and understand it, and you will walk in abilities you never knew you had, and you've always had them. You know, God gave us authority. I learned about it in the beginning. You know, shortly after I became a Christian, I was around some guys that went to a good church. See, when your friends go to a good church, you can learn things even though you don't go to the same church. Chris Lucas taught me about, he was the first person to teach me that I had authority. He pointed it out in the Bible and I believed it. But he was the first person that explained it. He wasn't even a minister yet. Well, he didn't say God called him to preach, but he went to a good church and he told me, he showed me in the Bible that I had authority and I believed him. But I didn't know that I could stop tornadoes and thunderstorms and hailstorms until a man that I greatly respected, I grew up with his children, Mr. Austin, was sitting on his couch watching TV, and a storm was coming towards Washington, D.C. And he had been going to a faith church and learning things. He went to More Than Conquerors for a while. And the Lord told him, you have the faith to stop that storm. It's headed for land. And he rebuked it, and then the storm went back into the sea and never hit land that year. I think it was in 88 or 89, because I was going to UAB at that time. And I went to UAB at the end of between 88 and 89. And so when he told me that, I stopped thinking it was stupid for me to try it. Now, I knew Jesus spoke to it, but I never spoke to the wind and told it to stop. When you have lack of experience, you can feel like that's not something that you can do. Because even the apostles, they said, what kind of man is this? They were surprised. But Jesus, when I studied it for myself, he acted like they should have been doing. So I was at UAB one day and about to go in the classroom. It was raining so hard, I could not see my truck. My truck was white, but I couldn't see it for the rain. And I looked up at the wind in the sky, said, peace be still. And before I could turn around and walk in the room, all the rain stopped and I saw my truck. Before I could turn around in one moment, we have abilities we didn't know we had. We're all alone. Through the love of God, I found out I could control my emotions. I don't have to get upset. So many things we have. Oh, I'm out of time. But the Lord is not. We'll take it up here now.